Hello, and welcome to Queer Crime, episode number 22. I'm your host, Patrick. Advance warning. This story moves away from my typical storytelling narrative, which usually involves one or two characters. This is a queer crime episode on Nazi crimes against gay people during World War II. It is interspersed with some personal stories from survivors based on the scant information which is available. As this episode involves Nazis, who are truly evil scumbags who killed millions of people, it won't be suitable for all listeners. Before I move on to the episode, I would like to acknowledge my sources which have helped me piece this story together. These are History.com, Time Magazine, the Holocaust Learning Organization, and the National World War II Museum. In terms of the gay High Holy Calendar, it's difficult to pick a year for this great expanse of tragic history, so I'll choose the year of liberation. It's 1945 and the end of World War II. The Tonys, Grammys and Emmys weren't yet invented, but the Oscars were. 1945 was the year that the 17th Oscars ceremony was held, and the winners were. Best Picture went to a movie called Going My Way. Best Director was Leo McCarey for Going My Way. Best Actor was Bing Crosby for Going My Way. And Best Actress was Ingrid Bergman for Gaslight. Being gay in Germany at the turn of the 20th century wasn't as bad as you'd expect. In fact, it was an open secret if you were gay in Berlin in the early 1900s. People seemed almost indifferent, and there are many newspaper articles from the time which openly discuss the subject of homosexuality. It wasn't just in the media at the time, though. There were about 100 bars in Berlin alone for LGBT people to meet. It appeared the people of Berlin were generally more accepting than the rest of the world, and this attitude was, let's face it, hugely progressive for the time. Over 100 years later, there are many countries which are still not as progressive as Germany was in the early 1900s, but that was about to change. Like all countries, there was a part of the law which was anti-gay. In Germany, it was called Article 175. Article 175 of the German Criminal Code stated that any man who permits indecent relations with another man, or who takes part in such relations, shall be subject to punishment by imprisonment. It was introduced in 1871. But despite this, it was rarely enforced. Even if it was rarely enforced, German physician and sexologist Magnus Hirschfeld fought to have Article 175 repealed. As a gay man himself, he knew the longer-term damage Article 175 could have if it was expanded, or if it was to fall within the control of a right-wing government. You may recall Magnus from my queer crime episode on Marsha P. Johnson. He was the doctor who created the Institute for Sexual Research, where he explained that homosexuality was a sexual preference and not a deviance, and was not something which could be cured. This countered the generally accepted global views on homosexuality at the time. He is also known for performing the world's first groundbreaking gender reassignment operations. However, as Germany progressed into the 1920s, the economic recession after the First World War, coupled with rising inflation, caused many people to become frustrated with their lack of financial security. And this perfect storm strengthened the rise of Nazism. Hitler was well aware of Article 175, and he brought this front and centre in the fight against gay men and anyone who was an active supporter of homosexuality. On the 6th of May 1933, 3 months after Hitler was elected as German Chancellor, several lorries arrived at Magnus's institute and began ransacking it. They destroyed his equipment, tore up his research papers, and took away books from the library. Thankfully, at the time, Magnus wasn't there. But he became aware of the destruction of his institute in a newsreel at a cinema in Paris. Fearing for his life because of his outspoken views on supporting gay people, he never returned to Germany and he died 2 years later in the south of France. This attack on Magnus's institute proved to be the first serious step that Hitler and his Nazi regime took against gay people. The propaganda that Hitler issued afterwards stated that he ordered the destruction of the institute because it was, quote, an unsupervised breeding ground for filth and contamination. End quote. This homophobic propaganda soon escalated, and Nazi newspapers started calling for the death penalty for gay people. Nazis attacked gay bars around the country and closed them down. In November 1933, just 6 months after Magnus's institute was destroyed, the chief of police in Hamburg was ordered to send all known transvestites to concentration camps. Witnessing little resistance to this request, the following year in 1934, the Gestapo ordered every police station in Germany to draw up a list of all known gay people. In Berlin alone, the police produced a list of almost 30,000 gay men. I can't imagine the fear that so many people must have felt. Even seeing the soldiers marching would have put the fear of God in anyone. Still, though, for a disgusting, vile, pathetic homophobe like Hitler, why did he introduce a march which made his strong, masculine soldiers high-kick their way down the street? He made his legions of armies look super camp by doing the can-can. Ironically, one of Hitler's closest friends and chief of staff of the SS stormtroops, Ernst Röhm, was gay. And of course, being a Nazi, Ernst wasn't a nice gay. He was a tactless, greedy, pompous prick. In the early days of Hitler's rise to power, Ernst was responsible for the most vile and cruel treatment of Jews and any opponent of Hitler. His brutal methods were so successful that Hitler ignored his open homosexuality. Even if Hitler received complaints about Ernst, he would defend him and say that his private life could not be subject to criticism. Double standards there, Adolf, you bell end. In 1932, the year before the Nazis seized power, some of Ernst's graphic letters containing sexual content with men were leaked to the press. Hitler was a master of propaganda, and he certainly didn't want to look weak in front of his enemies. He decided he couldn't tolerate Ernst anymore. On the 28th of June 1934, Hitler ordered Himmler and his SS to attack a guest house near Munich where Ernst was staying. Ernst was captured, and 3 days later an SS officer entered his prison cell and handed him a revolver, saying, quote, "I'll be back in 15 minutes," end quote. Ernst responded to the officer, quote, "Let Adolf do it. I have no intention of doing his job for him," end quote. Ernst was killed the same day. The campaign against homosexuality eased in 1936 when the Olympic Games were being held in Berlin. In fact, some gay bars reopened, and the police were instructed not to detain any foreign gay men who were visiting. However, as soon as the Olympic Games finished and the eyes of the world were elsewhere, the relentless repression recommenced, and the treatment of gay men became increasingly more severe. Hitler introduced numerous propaganda films which presented gay men as enemies and deviants. His senior staff and close allies delivered speeches denouncing gay men to their troops. In 1937, Himmler gave a speech to his lieutenants which said the gay plague endangered Germany's opportunity to produce more children. He said, quote, "This epidemic is destroying our people. This could risk the end of Germany. Unfortunately, things are not so easy now as they were for our forefathers, when homosexuals were drowned in the swamps. This was not a punishment. It was simply getting rid of something immoral," end quote. These words effectively created a carte blanche to treat gay men any way they wanted. The soldiers could use their discretion when punishing gay men for no other crime except being gay. But this was just the start of it. Gay men were soon sent from prisons to concentration camps. The treatment of gay men in concentration camps is one of the worst crimes against gay men in the history of the world. The Nazis introduced a colour-coded system of categorising prisoners in concentration camps. The system was relatively simple, but it helped single out groups of prisoners for the harshest treatment. Prisoners were categorised as Jews, political prisoners, criminals, asocials, and homosexuals. Each prisoner had to wear a triangle of a particular colour. Jews had to wear yellow triangles, or sometimes they wore yellow stars. Political prisoners had to wear a red triangle. Criminals wore a green triangle. Asocials, which was a wide-ranging category, wore a black triangle. Asocials included homeless people, prostitutes, alcoholics, Roma people, and lesbians. Finally, at the very bottom of the pecking order were gay men. They had to wear a pink triangle. These triangles introduced by the Nazis completely ignored what we understand today as intersectionality. We all appreciate now that we are a combination of multiple identities. You're not just gay or straight and you fit nice and neatly into that box. You can also be black or white. You can also have a learning need. You can also be Catholic or Protestant. You can also be very wealthy or very poor. Essentially, we have multiple identities. Choosing one is difficult, and choosing only one is unnecessary, because we're much more complex than that. However, the triangle system allowed the Nazis to easily slot people into different categories. These triangles ignored that you could be a homeless, gay, Jewish person. You could be categorized as either gay, or homeless, or Jewish. There was no crossover. Sometimes, not being categorized as gay would have saved your life. Unfortunately, even in a horrible and tragic place like a concentration camp, This created a hierarchy within prisoner categories. Men wearing the pink triangle, which indicated that they were gay, were separated into something called a sissy block and were forbidden to speak to other prisoners. In these sissy blocks, they were forced to sleep with their hands on the outside of the bed covers in order to prevent masturbation. If any of the men with the pink triangles were caught with their hands under the covers, even if they were asleep, they were taken outside and had buckets of water thrown over them. They were then made to stand there, dripping wet in the freezing cold night air for a few hours. Only a few men survived this treatment. Any that did survive got bronchitis, and they were sent to the camp's hospital, and no gay men ever returned from the hospital. The men with the pink triangles were the preferred targets for rifle practice by the guards. They were made to have sex with the lesbians from the asocials prisoner category. It was hoped that making the gay men and the lesbians sleep together would cure them of their homosexuality. Ugh, Jesus, those poor people. Nazis were total bastards. The men with the pink triangles were subjected to particularly hard labour. For example, in one concentration camp, they had to work in a clay quarry pushing full carts uphill to a machine that made bricks. The carts ran in tracks, but the tracks were flimsy, and they frequently derailed. As they derailed, they crushed defenceless prisoners further down the hill, some of whom didn't even bother trying to get out of the way. In 1943, the Nazis issued a new decree which gave the men with the pink triangle an option to get out of their living nightmare. If any of those gay men could demonstrate that they were obedient prisoners, and that they were willing to be castrated, they would be released from the concentration camps. As expected, as these men feared for their lives, some of them chose this option, although they soon received the shock. After being castrated, they weren't simply allowed to walk out of the gates and live freely. They were indeed released from the camps, but they were sent into the army to fight in the war, which inevitably had its own death sentence. The true scale of the treatment of gay men by the Nazis remains unknown for many reasons. Firstly, a great number of the men with the pink triangles died under the harsh conditions, so their stories are lost. Secondly, the classification of prisoners also shows people as Jews or political prisoners or criminals. Undoubtedly, some of these people were gay, but they hid it, and they were not given the pink triangle. Thirdly, even after the war, the view on homosexuality was abhorrent, so survivors kept their mouth shut for many years. There are very few first-hand accounts of Nazi violence towards gay men. However, as part of my research for this episode, I have found some stories of gay men who survived concentration camps, which will help bring this queer crime episode to life. Joseph Kahut. Joseph grew up in Austria, and after the Nazis annexed Austria in March 1938, Joseph became sexually involved with a guy called Fred, who was the son of a Nazi party member. Joseph gave Fred a photograph of himself for Christmas, which had the words, "To my friend Fred in eternal love and deepest affection." This photo was discovered 3 months later in March 1939, and the Gestapo arrested Joseph for being gay. He was sentenced to 6 months in prison in Vienna. Fred, thanks to his father's connections in the Nazis, didn't receive any punishment. When Joseph had completed his 6 month sentence, he was not released. In January 1940, he was deported to a concentration camp north of Berlin. En route to the concentration camp in the harsh winter, he was raped by two men. When he arrived at the concentration camp, he was forced to wear a pink triangle and was subjected to a brutal regime of hard labour and violence. He was transferred to a different concentration camp in Bavaria, and he remained there until almost the end of the war. He was freed, along with his fellow prisoners, by American soldiers in April 1945. Years later, he spoke about how he witnessed many men being subjected to the homosexual cure by being made to sleep with women. He also spoke about how he witnessed many gay men being murdered. Pierre Seal. Pierre was the fifth and last son of an affluent Catholic family in Mulhouse, a small French town close to the border of Germany. His father ran a successful patisserie, and his mother was a director of a department store. By his late teens, Pierre was part of the underground gay scene in the area and was actively pursuing sexual relationships with other men. In 1939, he was in a public park which was a notorious cruising spot for gay men. While he was there, he was mugged and he had his watch stolen. He was very upset about losing his watch as it was a gift from his godmother, and he reported the theft to the police. Pierre wasn't aware that because he had been in the park, which was a known cruising ground, the police added his name to a list of known homosexuals. When the Nazis invaded, he was arrested on the 3rd of May 1941 because his name had been on this list. He was tortured and he was raped using a piece of wood before being sent to a concentration camp about 30 kilometers west of Strasbourg. When he arrived at the camp, he was somehow misclassified as a Catholic and asocial rather than receiving the pink triangle. He soon came to realize how lucky he was. His boyfriend, Joe, had also been arrested, but he had been given a pink triangle. And then one day, Pierre witnessed Joe's execution by being fed to a pack of dogs. On the 6th of November 1941, after 6 months in the concentration camp, Pierre was set free with no explanation, and he was made a German citizen. He later said about the hierarchy of prisoners in the concentration camps, quote, "There was no solidarity for the homosexual prisoners. They belonged to the lowest caste. Other prisoners, even when between themselves, used to target them." End quote. Karl Goreth. Karl was enjoying the start of his career as a nurse when he was arrested in 1938 for being gay. His ex-boyfriend had become jealous of Karl and reported him to the Nazis. What a prick. He was imprisoned near Hamburg and had to wear a pink triangle. Due to his previous medical training as a nurse, Karl was forced to work in the prisoner hospital. Karl was a considerate and caring nurse, and when he refused to reduce the bread ration for Polish patients, he was sent to Auschwitz concentration camp. When he arrived at Auschwitz, he was mistakenly given a red triangle which identified him as a political prisoner. Auschwitz was notoriously grim, and Karl said years later that he firmly believed that this red triangle saved his life. In January 1945, Karl was freed when the Red Army liberated Auschwitz. In 1947, Karl was sentenced to prison again for the same crime, the crime of being gay. Curtis von Riedfin. Curtis started his career as an opera singer. He sang in many cities throughout Germany before commencing a successful career acting in films. In 1933, when he had completed filming on a movie called The Black Forest Girl, he was arrested under suspicion of being a homosexual. It transpired that Curtis had been named by another gay man when he was being tortured. Curtis was found guilty of the crime of homosexuality, and he was sent to a concentration camp in Lichtenberg for 2 years. At this concentration camp, the SS guards were evil bastards, and they got enjoyment out of a game that they invented. The guards would caress and feel the gay men, and anyone who got sexually aroused would be beaten. Occasionally, the guards would make the prisoners watch as they beat some of the other gay men to death. After 9 months in the concentration camp, Curtis was released thanks to the intervention of a famous theatre director called Heinz Hilbert. After his release, Heinz arranged for his lawyers to destroy the arrest files on Curtis, and he went on to have a successful movie career and continued acting until 1985. He lived until 1996. Friedrich von Grossheim. Friedrich was 31 years old when he was one of 230 men arrested by Nazis in his hometown of Lübeck, Germany, in January 1937. He was sent to a concentration camp where he was given the badge with the letter A on it. Prior to the introduction of the color triangle system, the Nazis used letters to distinguish prisoners. The letter A was equally as bad as the pink triangle, as the letter A stood for arsefucker. Friedrich was held in a prison cell with no heating and no toilet facilities. He was provided with very little food and he was constantly weak and delirious with hunger. He was tortured and beaten on a regular basis so that he would provide the names of other gay men. He said, quote, "They beat us to a pulp. I couldn't lie down. My whole back was bloody. You were beaten until you finally named names." End quote. In 1938, Friedrich was castrated before being released from the concentration camp. After the war, he settled in Hamburg. And in 1995, he was one of 8 men to sign a declaration given to the United States Holocaust Memorial Museum in Washington, D.C., that called for the memorializing and documenting of Nazi atrocities against homosexuals and others. He survived until 2003. Rudolf Brazda. Rudolf was born in June 1913, the son of Czechoslovakian immigrants. Growing up as the youngest of 8 children in a small hamlet was stifling for Rudolf, and he craved getting to the bright lights of the nearby city, Leipzig. When he was 20 years old, he finally moved to Leipzig, and soon after arriving, he went to a dance and he met a young guy called Werner. They soon moved in together, and Rudolf's mother was really pleased that he was happy, and she blessed their relationship. In 1937, Rudolf was arrested and jailed for 6 months for unnatural lewdness and debauchery. After his release, he was deported to Czechoslovakia. In 1941, when the Nazis occupied Czechoslovakia, he was arrested again and spent another 6 months in prison. In August 1942, he was arrested again, but this time he was sent to a concentration camp at Buchenwald, where he was given a pink triangle. He spent 32 months in the concentration camp. During this time, he was regularly assaulted by the guards, and during one particularly bad beating, he had 3 teeth knocked out. Oddly, an SS guard helped him in different ways and tried to make his imprisonment less harsh. This guard spared Rudolf from hard labour and sometimes gave him extra food rations. Rudolf later assumed it was because the guard was gay too and had a crush on him. As the Allied forces closed in on the concentration camp, the SS guard hid him in a pig shed so that he wouldn't be taken on a forced march out of the camp where he would most likely have died. Rudolf lay hidden with the pigs for 14 days until the Americans arrived on the 11th of April 1945. He spent the rest of his life living in Mulhouse with his partner of 15 years. He wrote a book called The Journey of a Pink Triangle, which highlighted the experiences of gay men at the hands of the Nazis. Throughout his latter years, he spent a considerable amount of time increasing awareness of Nazi deportation of gay men from France during the war. The French government appointed him a Knight of the Legion of Honour for his hard work. At the age of 95, he was invited by the mayor of Berlin to lay flowers at a memorial which had been erected for the men with the pink triangles. He died 3 years later at the age of 98. He was the last known survivor of the pink triangles. There is very little known about the lesbians who were in the camps. To date, historians have only uncovered one document that lists a woman's homosexuality as the reason for her being incarcerated at the Ravensbrück concentration camp. She was a 26-year-old Jewish woman called Ella, who arrived at the concentration camp on the 30th of November 1946. Next to her name on the transport list was the word lesbian. She was imprisoned with the political prisoners, and there is no further information about her fate. As you can see from these stories, these people were all subjected to horrendous and brutal treatment simply because they were gay. Their stories are known because they survived, but we will never know the true extent of fucking horribleness inflicted on them by Nazi scum. And to say that they were freed by Allied forces doesn't necessarily mean that they were free. At the end of the war, homophobia was rife amongst the German people after years of believing the propaganda peddled by Hitler and his high-kicking troop of can-can murderers. It wasn't just the German people who were awful in their treatment of gay men. The Allied forces, who freed the prisoners and who remained in post-war Germany to ensure stability, wanted gay men to serve their full prison sentences. For instance, if someone had been sentenced to 10 years for being gay and to serve 5 years of the sentence in prison, followed by 5 years in a concentration camp, the British and American authorities wanted that person to return to prison to serve out the remaining 5 years. They didn't class the concentration camp as the same as serving a prison sentence. And they got their way. Hundreds of gay men who had survived the hell of a concentration camp were sent to prison. Some of them were sentenced to another 20 years. They may not have had to wear pink triangles anymore, but they were still marked men. Hitler's dictatorship persecuted, arrested, and prosecuted over 100,000 German, French, and Austrian gay men during the 12 years they were in power. Gay men were sterilized, castrated, imprisoned, and deported to concentration camps. It is estimated that about 15,000 gay men died in the camps. Article 175, the anti-gay legislation which gave Hitler the ability to use the law in his favor, was not abolished until 1994, which was 5 years after Germany reunited. Because this wasn't properly abolished until 1994, this resulted in huge amounts of homophobia. The law wasn't on the side of LGBT plus people. Pink Triangle survivors were fearful of the homophobic society that they lived in, and they didn't speak out about their experiences, and we lost their stories. We know even less about the lesbians and trans people who were persecuted and murdered. The German government has offered compensation to Jewish people, political prisoners, and other groups who survived the concentration camps. There has been no mention of compensation for gay people. To this day, no financial compensation has been paid to LGBT plus victims of Nazi brutalization. In recent years, the pink triangle has become something very different. As the gay community faced the threat of HIV and AIDS, activists wanted to raise awareness of this public health crisis. In their campaigns, they resurrected the pink triangle because they felt that the lack of government support to those people who had been affected by HIV and AIDS was similar to the oppression and annihilation of gay people by the Nazis. However, instead of the pink triangle pointing downwards, it now points upwards, and it has become a worldwide symbol of gay power and pride. The LGBT plus community have reclaimed the pink triangle, just like we've reclaimed the word queer. Did you know that there are 195 countries in the world, and that out of those 195 countries, it's still illegal to be a gay man in 72 of them? Did you know it's still illegal to be a gay woman in 44 of them? And did you know that any same-sex activity in 11 of them could result in the death penalty? Utterly shameful in the year 2021. Why are LGBT plus people perceived to be immoral heathens in those countries? It's because those countries are governed by assholes. The people in charge have the power to change the perception of LGBT plus people in their countries, but they don't. Instead, they actively ask for LGBT plus people to be outed, to be imprisoned, to be brutalized and raped, or to be killed by their families. You might think there is very little you can do. There is. Research any LGBT plus equal rights charity and support their causes. Research the projects undertaken by the United Nations to support the advancement of LGBT plus equality and inclusion overseas. There's always something you can do to support the voices of the silenced. You've only got one life, so why not live it by being helpful and kind? Until next time.